Chapter 8. Aspen. The next 2 days of travel were a lot easier with three travelers, two of whom were high-leveled. They were attacked three more times, but each time they were able to kill or drive off the monsters with relative ease. Aspen gained 4 more levels, Rouge gained 3 and Mott 1. Even Silas reached level 20, though much to her disappointment, she didn't ascend to become a greater fruit bat. By mutual agreement, the original group didn't invite Doom to join the party. If she didn't know that travelers and some natives could speak in this manner, there was no reason to tell her. It allowed them to continue acting as if Aspen was little more than a simple farmer, uninterested in the personal activities of the helpful travelers. Plus, none of them was quite certain how far to trust her, especially since she made no pretense of wanting more than the minimal relationship expected between two members of peripherally related families. They made excellent time through the mountains, since they were able to ride and run for all but the 6 hours or so that Aspen had to rest at night. Rouge and Mott tried not to leave Aspen alone with the half-elf swordswoman, but there were times when it couldn't be avoided. Most of this time was spent silently jogging, Doom in the lead, while the two silent zombies and their mounts brought up the rear. Doom felt no need to speak to or even acknowledge Aspen when the other travelers weren't around. The morning of the third day, however, turned out to be slightly different. Mott was present when Aspen awoke, stirring a small pot of steaming oatmeal. Rouge and Doom's zombies laid with now familiar stillness in their blankets. Mott looked up and smiled as Aspen sat up and stretched. "Good morning. I was about to wake you. Silas just went to sleep a little while ago, and Doom is due to come back any time now. Unfortunately, I got a call from a colleague last night. She's sick and needs someone to cover her lectures today, so I'll have to leave earlier than planned." Aspen looked down at his hands, carefully pulling on his boots. "Oh? A good friend?" he asked noncommittally. Mott chuckled deep and warm. "The assistant chair of my department. She's 40 years older than me and due for retirement any time. I plan to apply for the position, and being in her good graces can't hurt." Aspen smiled wryly. "My mother was in somewhat the same position when I left home. There were only 3 teachers in Jumping Hollow, but one of them taught almost all of the wealthier students, including the Lord's children. He was much better paid and more respected than my mother and the other teacher. He was planning to retire the next year, and there was a fierce competition to see who would get the position. As I recall, he had somehow convinced my mother to grade papers for him, and the other teacher would polish his shoes every morning." He shook his head. "I wish I could remember his name. The other teacher. He was a kind man." He sighed, climbing to his feet and going over to accept a fresh bowl of oatmeal from Mott. "It seems like the older I get, the longer it takes for my memories to respond when I knock on the door." Mott laughed. "I think my memories stopped answering when Rouge was born. Something about having a child tends to drive everything but the present from your mind. Yea, from the table of my memory, I'll wipe away all trivial fond records." He was obviously quoting, but Aspen didn't recognize the phrase. He tilted his head in inquiry, since his mouth was full of molten breakfast grains. "Shakespeare. I teach literature, and sometimes I feel like I have to drop other people's wisdom into my conversation, if only to prove that I actually do something." The big man grinned, white teeth flashing. Aspen shook his head, about to respond, when some shift in the atmosphere warned him that something had changed. He glanced over to the bedrolls and saw that Doom's eyes were open and watching him, a quizzical expression on her face. He ducked his head down, concentrating on his food. Mott followed his glance and, seeing Doom was awake, stood and brushed himself off. His smile was a little forced when he said, "There's hot oats for breakfast, Doom. I set some aside for the animals as well. It should be cool enough by now, and they'll probably appreciate a warm meal. Rouge will be on this evening, but I probably won't be back until late, or even in the morning. Without labor, nothing prospers." He waved and his face went blank. Aspen shuddered. That was still, and likely would always be, creepy. And this was coming from a man who used to turn his own countrymen into ravening hordes of undead zombies on a regular basis. Doom sat down and picked up a bowl. Her cool blue eyes were still watching Aspen, as if she were trying to figure out a particularly irritating puzzle. She continued to watch him as she ate, saying nothing, so he finally went to the nearby stream and washed his and Mott's dishes. Then he took the rest of the now only slightly warm oats and fed them to the horse, mule, and ostrich. All three animals ate gratefully. By this time, Doom had finished her meal as well and gone to the stream for a drink and to wash her dishes. When that was done, she came back, and the two of them began to silently prepare the animals for the day's travel. They should arrive in Vargo shortly before dark that night, and the nearing end of the journey lent a sense of urgency to their preparations. Aspen, for one, was eager to be done with this leg of the journey and back in a non-combat zone again. As Doom mounted her white steed, presenting a lovely picture with her long golden braid and slim silver armor-clad figure, she did something she hadn't done before. She spoke to him. "What do you need in Bloodhaven, Farmer Aspen?" Her voice was as cool as her eyes, and it took a moment to realize that she was actually expecting an answer. He cleared his throat, trying to bring back the accent of a childhood spent in a rural part of Quarternell that had been overrun by the Dark Races over 10 years ago now. "Need to visit a friend, m'lady. Hear she has a shop there now. Sells magic items." "Hum." She made a noncommittal noise, facing forward. Doom mounting her horse was apparently the signal for Rouge and Mott's zombies to join them. Rouge's body stood smoothly, though with none of the effervescent energy her soul brought to it, and gathered up her things with a pass of her hand. She was already fully dressed, so it was only a matter of a moment before she was mounted on Codswallop, who made a dissatisfied noise as he gobbled the last few bites of his breakfast. Mott's zombie gathered up all the items they'd used in the camp, storing them in his inventory. Then he stepped over into line 3 yards behind Codswallop, who was 3 yards behind Doom. Doom usually rode at the front of the small column, but today she moved her horse beside Aspen. Only when the small group was moving did Doom Bloom speak up again, startling Aspen out of the reverie in which he usually spent the long, silent hours. "What's her name?" "I've spent a lot of time in Bloodhaven. I can probably tell you if she's still there." "NPCs," she paused, shaking her head. "I mean, natives don't tend to stay there long, unless they're protected by a traveler's guild." She nudged her horse into the moderate canter that Aspen had found he could now maintain all day. Aspen fought to keep his face bland. He knew exactly why few of his people stayed in Bloodhaven. The murderous travelers cut them down with all of the emotion of a man swatting a pesky fly. By his best estimate, the city population was 3/4 travelers, and the natives who stayed were mostly criminals of one kind or another, who had nowhere else to go. Some few people managed to make a living as shopkeepers and servants, but it was a risky proposition. Oddly reluctant, he said, "Her name is Manuela." There was a long silence, and then Doom said, "That's it. No last name? No job title?" "No. She works there. Rouge said she'd find her for me." Doom rolled her eyes and muttered, "One of those quests. That girl never changes." Aspen returned his eyes to the road, as did she. He knew that showing any further interest in the travelers' lives would mark him as something unusual. Most people didn't much care what the travelers did when they were in their own world, but Aspen found himself irresistibly curious. Now that Doom had actually spoken to him, it was hard to keep from. "You're Rouge's sister?" The words emerged almost against his will, and he mentally cursed himself. Doom's eyebrows shot up, and she looked at him, blue eyes calculating. She seemed to be deciding if she should answer or not, which was fine, because he was certain he shouldn't have asked. "I'm her stepsister," she said finally. "Her mother married my father. My mother died when I was a baby, and I don't remember her at all. So Rouge's mom is the only mother I know." He hesitated for a moment, but decided it was too late to stop now. "Rouge said she hasn't seen her mother in a long time." Doom sighed, eyes flicking to a small stand of scrubby trees, as if some enemy might be lurking there. "Dad got a great job in. Well, a long way away. Too far to travel easily. Mom and I went with him. Mom is a history professor, and she got a position at a university near our new home. She's busy." Aspen kept his gaze resolutely on the narrow dirt track they were following. "Rouge said she gets vacations during the summer." He realized he had slipped out of his accent and swallowed his consonants back down where they belonged. "Guess she must need to help out with the crops or summit." He refused to look over and see if Doom had noticed the change. The half-elf was silent for several minutes, and he had just decided, with mixed relief and frustration, to let it be, when she finally spoke again. Her tone held more emotion than he'd given her credit for, and it was all he could do to keep his own expression blank and listen. The half-elf spoke for a long time. The words came out in bits and drabs, painting a picture of a clueless father, a sharp and demanding new stepmother, and two young children caught in the middle. Doom's voice trailed off as the last of it tumbled out, and she glanced over at Aspen as he jogged effortlessly beside her. She straightened up, shaking off the anger and sadness. "Anyway, I guess I feel like I owe her, a little. Because I was too caught up in my own life, and didn't see how much she was struggling. So I'm helping her now. It's not much, but at least I'm trying." The slender figure of alabaster in gold and silver shrugged. "I don't even know why I'm telling you. You're just a piece of code, though you seem to be a well-written one. Most of you people do a good job of acting like you're real, but if I watch, I can see your algorithms kick in. Only a few of you are as complex as you seem to be, so Rouge must have found herself a pretty good quest." Doom's cerulean eyes flickered over to Aspen. "Anyway, you won't tell her what I said. Not unless she asks, and there's no reason she'd ask you about me. NPCs don't volunteer information that isn't related to their quests or their backstory, if they even remember anything else. I've never really talked to one enough to figure it out. I guess I needed to tell someone, and talking to you is like writing it in my diary or something." The tall farmer continued to jog, his face blank and his conscience writhing. He knew most of his people didn't speak to travelers more than they needed to. The strange visitors seemed entirely focused on quests and fighting, and though they could be polite when they wanted something, they were just as likely to attack you or try to steal something if they could. Now though, he felt like he was betraying both Rouge and Doom. Doom thought he was stupid, and Rouge was his friend. The story was certainly personal, but if Rouge knew, she would be less angry at her stepsister, and possibly even open herself to forming a relationship with the older girl. He frowned down at his feet as Doom kicked her horse slightly, pulling ahead so they were no longer close enough to converse. For now at least, he would hold his peace. If something happened to change the situation, or when Doom left the group, then he would reconsider. Right now he just needed to survive Vargo and Bloodhaven.